Hi, and welcome to SCL, the Subject, Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnowphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the fantastic world of photography. Hi everybody, hope everybody's had a great week, taking lots of photographs. The weather's really looking up here in Gosport on the south coast of the UK. Nice blue skies. Well, we've had nice blue skies, we haven't got nice blue skies today. I've taken quite a few photographs this week, so I'm well chuffed. It's Monday morning, it's 7:24. I'm stuck in a huge traffic jam on the way through from Gosport to Fareham on my way to work at Jessop's in Chichester. And I'm also aching that the allotment saga goes on. I was lucky enough to have this weekend off, and Suzanne and I spent the entire weekend at the allotment just preparing it. And I know this is turning into this weekend allotments, but I feel I have to share my experiences about that with you as well. It's been a long slog. It's been a long slog, but we're getting there now. The plot when we took it was overgrown and full of weeds, and it was just like a piece of scrubland. And now we've virtually finished the preparation. All the beds are in. All the beds have got like planks around them, so they're all sort of separate. There's little paths in between all the beds, and this thing is probably about the size of a tennis court, I'd say, this allotment plot. And every single piece of ground that isn't a bed, or where the shed is, where the greenhouse is, or where the compost bins are, is covered in chippings, bark chippings, wood chippings. What the what the council do is they dump in strategic parts of the allotments all sort of wood chippings where they've been cutting down trees and chopping them up, and it's great for paths and things. Unfortunately, our pile is about 100 metres away, so I spent all day yesterday carting backwards and forwards with a wheelbarrow full of these chippings filling it up. But it looks great, it's nice and soft underfoot, stops it getting all muddy, just makes everything look really nice on the allotment as well, and kind of defines our allotment amongst all the others. So really good. So now we can, I mean, we've got some things in the ground already. We've got like strawberries, we've got some early potatoes, got some carrots and onions, and there's a few things coming on in the greenhouse. And when I say that, you have to understand that it's Suzanne who does all that sort of stuff. And I nip off every now and again and take photographs. So if you've been following my Flickr stream, you'll probably notice that it definitely has an allotment kind of theme over the past few weeks. And it's going to continue as well, because last Sunday we were down, was it last Sunday or Thursday? No, Thursday, wasn't it? Yeah, last Thursday we were down the allotment, and I took my Kodak folding camera down. I don't know if I've talked about the Kodak folding camera before. I got it from the car boot sale a couple of months ago. I was really excited because you find the odd folding camera at the car boot sale. And these are the ones that, I call them a folding camera, but basically they've got like mini bellows in them. So they're about the size of a paperback book, and then you open them up and then these bellows come out and they lock into place, and then the lens is on the front of the bellows. And you find them down there, but sometimes they're in bad condition, or the sellers want too much money, or they use a different type of film. But this Kodak pocket camera number one, on the back of it, it said uses 120 film, which I thought, brilliant, 120, it's still available, grab it. And so I took that down the allotment, and I was shooting with that. It must make a huge negative, because out of a 120 roll of film, I only got 8 shots. So, you know, 8 shots, amazing, isn't it? But I've got that in my pocket, and I'm going to develop that at work this week. And then hopefully, I'm going to be getting I'm trying to get a scanner out of Epson. They're going to send me a review model of a scanner that's got a... there's 35mm slides, but also will have a medium format window on it as well. So I'm really excited about finally getting to scan some 120 film into my computer from this Kodak pocket camera, but also from the 120 stuff I did with the Rand Diana camera that I did all those couple of months ago now, I think, those black and white. So that was really cool. The other thing I got during the week was, because I've been on this black and white film trip, you know, over the past couple of months, since I found the bulk loader with all the Jessop's black and white film in it, and I've also got this little tin of Jessop's film as well. and I've been shooting lots of black and white. I've kind of been looking at my black and white film kit, like the, with the SRT 101, with the Minolta, and although it's a fantastic kit, I've got that because I had the 50 1.8, and I also had the 135 3.5, I think. I didn't really have a wide angle, and I felt I was suffering a bit with the wide angle with that SLR. And it meant that I was more likely to dig out my Stylus Epic or my my Olympus Trip 35 to get wide angle shots. So I actually bought a lens off eBay. I got the 28mm 3.5 MC Rockor Minolta lens, and I was playing around with that as well, taking lots of shots. And again, because our spare time at the moment basically is taken up down the allotment, that's why I spend my time just firing off test shots and looking for interesting things. So that was good. I also loaded up my little Stylus Epic with some of that expired click film that Suzanne got for me last weekend, and I put some more of this black and white stuff in the Olympus Trip 35. So I've got all these film things on the go. It's almost like I feel I can't do anything else until I work my way through all this sort of kind of free film that I've got. The film that I took last weekend and developed and then scanned during the week is, funnily enough, it's okay, the exposures are better, but the film's all scratched. It's got these big scratches running down it, which I was a bit like, that's not very good. But as somebody pointed out on the Flickr photo stream, you know, it does look, it does make the photos look a bit authentic, but you know, I'd rather they didn't have the scratches. I had a quick go in Photoshop, actually, and thought, oh, how easy would it be to take the scratches out? But to be honest, after a couple of minutes, I got bored and thought, oh, just leave them in. Don't worry about it, just leave them in. I think they put a quick shout-out as well. I got a nice email off Steve Kingswell this week. It's always nice to get emails from listeners just saying how much he enjoyed the blog. And he used to live around here. In Fareham, and he actually used to go to Portsmouth Polytechnic, where I went to as well years ago. So thanks, Steve, for that email. Everybody please check out his blog, one of his websites, which is The Imaging Blog. That's one word, theimagingblog.com. And he's got lots of interesting articles on there about how to improve your photography. I'll put a link in the show notes as well. Oh, so this weekend was all taken up with shooting at the allotment, where I nip off every 5 minutes and take some photographs. But one of the other things I played with as well was a close-up filter for my that went on the front of my 50mm lens for the SRT 101 for the Minolta film SLR. And in the past, I've used to do macro photography, to use close-up photography, I've used extension tubes. If you've seen any of my pictures of, you know, the flowers and things like that, and extension tubes are basically hollow tubes that you put on the camera end of your lens, and what they do is they extend the lens away from the body and blow up the image. But one of the other ways of doing it is to put like a close-up filter on the further end of your lens, and what that then does is it acts like a pair of magnifying glasses for your lens. And I've had this close-up filter for quite a while. I've got a few of them, but I never really had the right threads to use them on, or I can never bother to fit them on. But I thought, no, I'll have a go, and I screwed one onto the front of the 50mm 1.8, and I've taken some shots with it as well. And hopefully they've come out okay, because one of the things I really enjoy doing now is developing my film in the evenings. So I'd shot two rolls of film, one from the SRT 101, and one from the Roniflex, which I've got to talk about as well. Remember, I'm all over the place this morning, aren't I? Remember I was talking about this little plastic camera that was like a Diana, but used 35mm film, the Roniflex, but I was moaning and groaning because I shot a whole roll of film with it and it came out blank because the wind-on wasn't working properly. And basically I didn't check that the wind-back spool was turning, and so I just took all these photographs when in fact it wasn't taking any. Well, I thought, well, I'm going to have a play around with it, see if I can get it to work. And I don't think it was the fault of the wind-on spool. I think I probably loaded the film wrong, and the film was just spinning around, probably, when I was winding it on. So I had another go and put some more of this Jessup's PAM 100 expired film in it, and shot that basically. Yesterday, just running around the car, running around the allotment and the car boot sales, just taking pictures, just to use up the film, and it did work. Now it did feel like it was slipping a few times, But last night I developed those two rolls of film, one from the Roliflex and one from the SRT-101, and it looks like they've come out all right. It does look like there's images there. They might be a little bit overexposed from the Roliflex. And the other strange thing as well is it looks like these negs haven't got any scratches on either. But I can't remember if I rolled these films before or after the lot of scratched ones I got, so bit of a question mark there. But I've got those negs with me today, so I'll scan them at work, burn them onto one of my CDs, and I'll get them up on my Flickr stream and on the blog as soon as I can. But they should be quite interesting, the sort of combination of the Roniflex shots with that plastic camera, and then the SRT-101 with a 28mm wide angle, and then with the 50 with a close-up filter on as well. I did some sort of close-ups of plants and things, so that might be good. Now, speaking of car boots, because I keep saying it when I meant to say allotment, but we went to the car boot yesterday, and I picked up some really good things, actually. What happens during the winter, most of the car boot sales in the UK, if they're held in farmers' fields and things, shut down because it gets too muddy, and it's only the ones that are on hard standings, like at schools, that keep going. So, you know, Bridge Mary, one of the local ones we always go to every Sunday, has been on all the way through the winter, but now the other ones start firing up. So we went to one at just up at Titchfields. We call it Strawberry Fields because opposite it there's a big strawberry field where you can go strawberry picking in the summer. And yeah, picked up a couple of right bargains. I actually picked up a scanner, because I'm always looking for scanners, and there's always scanners at the car boots, but they're just flatbeds without the little film attachment. Because if you want to scan slides or film or negatives, the scanner, if it's a flatbed, in the lid has to have a light that shines through to illuminate the negative or the slide, otherwise they look really dull. And there was the one I got was a Canon, I think it's a CanoScan 3200F, and I paid £7 for it. And I opened it up, checked the box, and it had the little film adapter. Now it only has the space to scan one frame of 35mm at a time, so it can't do medium format and you can't do a whole strip. But you know, as this was the first scanner I'd seen that anybody who's selling at the car boot sale, you know, that could do film at all, I thought, well, we'd give it a go. And I had a bit of a play with it last night, and I'm pleasantly surprised by the fact that it actually scans the negatives pretty well. They're not as sharp or as contrasty as when I do them at work, but you know, remember at work we're using a professional scanner that's scanning to print quality, to really high print quality. They were good enough. I mean, I was comparing some of the shots I took in London, because I had a disc with the scans that I'd done at work, against scanning them through this little Canon scan, and that they weren't as sharp and they didn't have as much contrast, but basically by making them brighter and adding a little bit of contrast, I could get them close. And I guess if I applied a bit of sharpening, I'm not sure if they're not quite as sharp because my negs are a little bit curly and they weren't held down properly, or it was something else. But yeah, pleasantly surprised. And then the other reason why I need a scanner is to scan Polaroids that I take from like the Instax Mini, and when I get some film for the Instax 200. And after a quick, yeah, you know, when I first did it, I was like, ugh, because the little photographs were covered in dust and scratches and looked really awful. But then I actually sort of looked at the settings, and you can set it to reduce dust and scratches, and they came out beautiful, actually. I think it scans at about 1200 dpi. You know, so, you know, fair, it's not massive quality, but, you know, it's good enough for displaying on the web and doing small prints from. And, yeah, well chuffed. So, nice little buy, that CanoScan 3200 for £7 for the car boot sale. And I think what I'll do is I'll scan these negs, and when I do a review of it, I'll compare scans from the scanner. Excuse me, the scans we do at work with scans from this little flatbed with a film attachment, just to show you know, the difference and what to expect. Because having a scanner that can scan film negatives kind of completes the circle for the home developer of film, because if you don't have a scanner to scan your negs, you're at the mercy of the lab. And I guess I'm in a lucky position in the fact that I can go into work and I can scan my negatives, and then I've got a digital format. But if you can't, you've got to then pay, even if you develop your negs yourself, you've got to then pay a lab to put them onto CD for you. But if you've got your home flatbed scanner or some other type of film or negative or slide scanner, you know, that then gives you the option, you know, you can like I did last night. No, you develop your neck, you take your photographs, you develop your necks, you can scan them so you've got digital files, and then you can email them to people, do all that sort of business, or you can then print them out. And I could use my little, you know, you could use any photo printer, I could use my little selfie CP780 to print them out. Now, I know that last bit of it is digital, isn't it? You know, it's the, they call it the combined workflow, where you have your analog capture and then you have your digital printing. But before I get a dark room where I can actually get my Patterson colouring larger kit working, I think that will definitely do for me, and I'm quite excited about having a play with that and doing that. So there we go, there's my photographic week. I think I've included everything. Hopefully next week I'll be able to tell you about how these shots from the Kodak Best camera, pocket camera number one, came out. I'm quite looking forward to that, because it's colour medium format from a really old camera from the 1920s, but hopefully they'll turn out all right. And hopefully as well I'll be able to report back about using a proper big nice Epson. Well, it's not going to be it's going to be a flatbed scanner from Epson, but one that can scan medium format as well. So there we go. That's enough, I think, from me this week. Thanks to everybody for taking part in the Flickr photo group. Remember, if you haven't joined already, Flickr's free, and there's the rubnonphoto.com Flickr group over there where you can put your photographs in. There's a few discussions. It's a bit quiet on the discussion front over there, but people are still putting their photos into the pool, which is nice. I enjoy looking through them and favouriting them and then commenting on the odd one or two. Loads of really good work and loads of good inspirational work going in there too. Thanks everybody for emailing me and commenting on the blog at rubnonphoto.com. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from rubnonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.